Welcome to Building Your T-Shirt Empire, powered by ShirtAgency.com. Get ready to take a trip inside the apparel industry for the best tips, tricks, and interviews. And now, here's your host, Cole Lundstrom.
Hello. So, my name is Cole, and on this episode, Ruben from Grandline Graphics returns. We talk about a lot of random topics, some about production and speeding up your workflows. We also talk about marketing and targeting the right demographic to increase your sales. His big focus right now is to turn it into a million-dollar print shop. So we kind of get into some nitty-gritty sales stuff. And at some points, it might go off the rails a little bit. It's a long podcast, so prepare yourself. But I think it's a goodie. All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy.
My name is Ruben. I'm with Grandline Graphics. We're at least near Portland, Oregon. More people know that city. We have one rock, no manuals, and this year we're looking to do maybe 350,000, but that's not enough sales. So I texted Cole yesterday and, I asked him, how do you get your bigger orders? Because I'm struggling printing all these, 24 shirt orders, maybe 5-10 orders a week, and constantly just 90% of the time you're just setting up.
So I think that the biggest thing going into that specific question is, A, what do you want to make a year so that you can work backwards and figure out what like your weekly gross needs to be? And then also, small orders aren't a bad thing. You can build a multi-million dollar company off of that, but you need to figure out how to be efficient with them. So if you found yourself completely hating small orders, then you could just raise your minimum and not have them at all. Or you could find out a way to make them actually like a healthy, profitable part of your business. So the first part of my question is, how much are you actually expecting to make like 2 years into your print shop? What is success for you this year, or, next year, since we're almost done with this year?
Success for me next year would be just to keep growing. I mean
a specific number. Is there something you're gunning for? Like, you want to pay yourself $100,000, something like that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good number.
Okay. So how is it that you're intending to do that next year?
I'm trying to figure out how to get bigger orders, because it seems like no matter how hard I try, the bigger orders pay better. And I'm not saying huge orders like realistic. Okay, here's a good example. Last week we had so usually we print maybe 3 orders a day, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be that one of those days we printed only 2 orders. Except that day we made, $2,500. And if you print 3 small orders a day, I mean, you can't really charge $30 a shirt to make that much money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right. There's a limit to what people will actually pay.
So if you charge $30 a shirt and you print 3 24 shirt orders, okay, sure, you'll have a $2,000 day. I mean, gross, but I mean, that's not possible, at least unless it's some really, really complicated stuff, which then I think it would take too long to set up anyway. So if you do $2,000 a day, then you're doing $60,000 a month. I mean, that's...
So what I think I'm a little confused as to why you're doing 3 orders a day. Is it a marketing problem and you're not getting more sales and your guys are out of things to do by noon? Or is it a production problem and you guys are so slow at printing that you can only do 3 a day?
Well, I mean, I don't think my guys are too slow. It seems like they're doing... I actually just got another printer and he might be a little bit faster than my last guy, but...
But I mean, if you landed 8 of those jobs in a day, can your guys actually handle that? Or is it more of a back-end problem where their total output is just going to be 3 small jobs a day anyway?
Well, no. I mean, for example, I feel like most of our orders, the setup time is the same. So what I was trying to say earlier is, let's say we got that $3,000 shirt ordered. It's not a huge order, and they printed it without a problem. And that day was like whatever, a 5K day, because it was. So it's not really a problem about the orders. I feel like it's a problem with
setup
just
time.
constantly setting up.
So how are you handling the setup? Are you separating the tasks so that somebody's burning a day ahead of time and then the printer's only registering? Because we've found when our printers only register, because we have a screen guy, we only have maybe 15 minutes of setup. Now, that could be worse if it's like a really high detailed 7-color or 8-color print. But a lot of our 1- and 2-color jobs, they're sub 15-minute setups for sure. And it's because things are prepared ahead of time. Are you guys doing that?
Yes and no. Yes and no, but I mean, for the most, okay, so what I'm thinking about is a particular day, he had to set up a 7-color job. It took him a little bit more than half the day, but he made the screens himself, and he washed them out, he dried them, and he put them to press.
Yeah, and even just having it dry will waste a ton of time. How many people are on staff there right now?
Right now we have two full-time and one part-time.
So what are their different roles?
One is front desk, so everything from invoicing an order to mock-ups to films.
Okay. And then
she even organizes orders sometimes.
Okay.
And she has extra time. That way the guys don't have to organize the shirts. And the other guy, he's making screens and printing shirts. And then the part-time guy is reclaiming screens after school.
So the part-time guy needs to become your full-screen guy so that he's burning at least one day ahead. I think that would definitely help with this waiting problem. Is there a reason he couldn't burn them for you one day ahead?
No, he actually could, yeah. He definitely could.
Because the problem is, if you start crushing it with marketing or you start getting really good clients, if your back production can't handle it, you'll just make them mad. You know, you won't necessarily make a lot of money. You might get a great lead and then lose them a month later. So you definitely want to start ironing out some of those hiccups as far as speed.
Okay.
I mean, I think you guys should definitely have a 15-minute setup window for every job. And then you'll be a little more reasonable with difficult jobs, but there's almost no reason for a professional screen printer on an automatic to not set up in 15 minutes.
What about like a 7-color job? There's no way that takes 15 minutes.
Well, really good guys, yeah, it does. And then even if you want to give your guys slack, I mean, you should cap it at 30 or 45 minutes. And then you can at least justify some of the expense, because hopefully your pricing per t-shirt is scaling. Or per color in the t-shirt.
Well, yeah.
How are you pricing these small ones? Are they being done through Printavo?
Yeah.
And have you compared your price list to some of your competitors up there? Or do you know what other people are charging?
Yeah, I'm not the cheapest guy, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like making money is not really the biggest problem, but I mean, it is a problem, but it's not really as much of. Maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like you just get a couple more bigger orders, and you could pretty much double or triple the business without any extra work, because they finish those big orders in the same amount of time because the setup is the same. I mean, that's a good idea. I could try for a month and have him expose screens as well. He'd get more hours, so I think he'd be more happy anyway.
Yeah, you might actually be able to cut other people's hours because of it. I mean, long term, if you become 10 people or 15 people or whatever, no matter what, you're going to end up with people in charge of the screen room. You're going to have to separate that job eventually. So doing it now might just help with your timing a little bit. But as far as getting big orders, I feel like there's a level of kind of earning them. A lot of those big people are from word of mouth. I don't think I've really ever advertised to one of my biggest clients and landed them because of an ad. It's normally a pretty good client who did 500 pieces for this, tells someone else, oh yeah, they did a good job, and then you get 1,000 pieces, and then that guy needs 1,000 pieces next week, and then he needs another 1,000 pieces in 2 weeks. And then because you do well with that guy, he knows the merch guy who runs it for this band, and they need 9,000 pieces. It's a lot harder to advertise to that level of client than it is to advertise to someone who needs 50 shirts for some little event. Because those bigger merch managers have been in the industry. Even if it's a band, normally whoever's in charge of the merch has a lot more experience than the people in the band.
Okay, okay.
What are you doing right now to try to get bigger clients?
Well, for now, I mean, it's mostly, so remember when back, how long did we, was it maybe 6 months ago, probably?
Yeah, it's a while.
I was working with one guy, doing SEO and some paid ads. I found a better guy.
Mm-hmm.
He even got some awards. He actually bought out his own building. So, I mean, clearly he's doing something right if he managed to purchase his own building.
Just with SEO consulting?
SEO and paid ads and all that kind of stuff.
Cool.
So, I just started with him. So, besides all my Instagram posting and small, you know, Facebook ads, Instagram ads, trying to do that, see where that will take me.
So, what's his new strategy for you? What's, like, his vision that's going to be better than what you would have done for yourself?
So what he's going to be doing for me is getting me to the first page of Google.
For what search categories? For Portland, for
both? Yeah, Vancouver and Portland. So basically, if somebody searches screen printing, I would be the first one there. And then we'll see what kind of orders those bring. You know, maybe those will be smaller orders. Maybe they won't be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm on the first page of Google. So from experience, I know some of the issues you're going to have. What I've found that kind of blows my mind is that customer service and sales members are really difficult to find, and then also to keep them interested, because a lot of your support staff, like sales staff, realize that they could start middlemanning stuff. And then they kind of want like pieces of deals, which I've seen at quite a few shops where people either leave the shop and steal one or two clients, or they, kind of hold the owner hostage and tell them like, hey, I need 10% of this deal because otherwise I'm going to, just take it to another shop. So those kind of experiences in the past at other shops have shown me that your salespeople are going to matter a ton. And having a ton of leads can actually be a curse, because you can end up with phone calls that you haven't answered that are 2 days old, 3 days old. I know that one company that, I guess I won't say their name, but they were doing massive amounts of advertising spending, and they actually changed their name because even though they were doing like $2.5 million a year in printing, they changed their name because they had gotten their Yelp and their Google reviews down to like 1.5 stars. And most of those reviews were about how they don't answer the phone, they don't reply to emails, and how people's shirt orders were wrong. So you can actually be blessed with too many leads.
Wow, that's interesting.
That's what I mean about getting your back end really tight. Because if you get the opportunity to have, you know, 40 orders in a week, you got to know you can handle it. Otherwise, you just pissed off 40 people.
That's actually a really good point. That's a really good point.
Who's really taking charge of the back end?
I mean, I'm trying to oversee everything, make everything work smoothly.
So you're like standing in the back room, or I thought you were doing a lot of sales before.
No. What do you mean? You mean organizing who does what, or
like who's the production manager, even if they're the person running the auto?
I mean, kind of. Mark was kind of in charge of that.
So he's pretty much in charge of it exclusively. You're not in the back side, making sure jobs are running faster. It's all Mark.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. And do you think he's doing a good job?
Well, I mean, yes and no. I mean, I'm on this podcast now to figure out how we can do it better.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always ways you can improve, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, getting back to how much you said you wanted to make, how do you think you have a path to making $100,000 as a salary? Do you think that your business right now mathematically can do like a 15% margin for you, the owner? Or do you think it's higher, lower? Have you calculated that?
Right now it is actually 15%. And I think next year it should be even more, because this year we spent, you know, new air compressor, new air dryer, new dark room, new exposure unit, all that stuff, you know, that's $15K that won't be spent next year, or even more probably.
How much do you think you can get out of your auto not doing like a double shift? Do you think you can do $1 million in sales? I mean,
I think so. Yes. It's just going to have, what I think has to change is the orders. So for example, I mean, $1 million a year, that's actually not hard at all, because hold on one sec. So 1 million a year divided by 12, we have to do 80K a month.
Yeah, I think it's something like 4K per workday.
Yeah, so 4K per workday, but that just, the orders have to change drastically. Mm-hmm. So we have to do, you know, if that's gross, actually that's not hard at all.
Well, also what is going on with your gross? I mean, like, selling 100 hoodies is a way better situation than printing 500 of the cheapest t-shirts possible with a guy lowballing you. So the correlation between gross and your actual profit margin is pretty important.
Well, I mean, so far, like, this year, we're, like, about 14% profit. I just counted it up yesterday. And that's with the darkroom expense included and all that stuff.
Is that after you've taken a salary? Like, if
no. So right now there's not enough money. I take all the profit.
So you basically work for free, and as a shareholder you steal from the company instead of like putting it on a book and making it like your income of 40 grand, and then the company actually loses money.
No. Well, cuz I guess if you want to put it that way, then sure. So right now, I mean, okay, let's do the math really quick. 350K times by 15%, that means there's $52,000 left over.
Mm-hmm.
So the business would profit $52,000 if I didn't take anything out. So if I take away 50 grand, okay, the business is a profit 2 grand.
But the business can't run without you. I mean, if you were to sell it right now, they'd have to replace you or hire you as staff, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah. I mean, to an extent.
How many hours are you working right now in the business?
I don't count my hours. I probably should.
But I mean, guesstimate. Are you there pretty much every day?
At least 4 days a week.
Okay. So yeah, I mean, you would cost 30 grand or something on the low end as an employee.
Okay.
And have you actually taken 52,000, or is that just kind of a ballpark number?
A ballpark number. Probably, I mean, we're not at the end of the year, so it would be less.
Yeah.
But I pretty much take everything. It's not, you know, you got to pay the house and everything, right?
Mm-hmm. But does that mean that you're feeling like every month, like you have to make money next month because your checking account's getting empty? I mean, if you're taking whatever profit the company made every month, is there not like a backup account for the business that isn't your personal account?
For now, no.
You should probably do that.
But how? There's not enough money to go around.
Well, I mean, you're going to want to start figuring out how you can cut expenses and also maximize profits. So you're going to want more sales that are going to be healthier, but what I've seen with Shirt Agency is that we'll just crush from like August to mid-December because our clients are killing it with online sales.
Okay.
And I've got all this staff, right? So like right now, there's like 15-something people on payroll. But guaranteed, January, February, we're not going to even be half of what we do now in sales. And it won't even be our fault. It's just kind of like a seasonal swing because of what our customers do.
So, okay.
Which means I have two options. There's the bad option, which is fire a ton of people or give them such bad hours that they actually quit. Or save enough money to know that in those down hours, I might actually lose money on payroll a few months. But at least I get to keep experienced people that are going to be valuable to me throughout the entire year. So that's what I mean about wanting to build up like a business savings account that allows you to survive one or two bad months.
Well, no, of course, there's like a little bit of savings enough to cover overhead maybe a month or two. But I mean, there's realistically, you're 10 times my business? Not 10 times. At least 5 times?
Yeah. But I mean, so it's so the same. It's just tiny versions of the same problem. I mean, I don't think you want to fire anyone in the winter, right? I mean, you want to start figuring out how to support these people long term so it doesn't feel scary.
Well, I mean, realistically, there's, I guess, at least some kind of standard of I need to make at least, let's say, $3,000 per month, $4,000 per month to pay the house, pay the, you know, pay.
Yeah, right.
The bills or whatever.
For yourself.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a point to where like, okay, well, I guess either I'm going to be stupid and spend money that I'm not supposed to, or I'm going to set it aside. Sure, I agree with you there. But if there's not even, you know, $4,000 coming in or $3,000 coming in, then what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, right.
You take everything the business makes, at least for now, until the sales double.
I understand the struggle. I'm not saying like, you know, go and live in a van. I'm just saying as far as trying to focus the goal, like you need to try to figure out like a path that's sustainable, because what I've learned that I like the most about Shirt Agency is when things are smooth, not necessarily when we're slammed, or not when we're slow and we're hanging out. Like it's all about trying to find some sort of even balance financially. Because everyone who works for you is going to make even less than you. And then the possibility that you're cutting them just because you guys are having a bad month is a disaster. So what do you want for a bigger order? What do you think a bigger order is? Do you want 50,000 units contract work for 25 cents a unit? Or do you
No, realistically, what I want is, I'm gonna look up two orders that I really liked and see what they were made up of.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so here's on Printavo. I have an order for 3,240 and it's 180 pieces.
Okay. So that's your version of what you're looking for.
At least for now. I mean, that's realistic. Sure, I want a $50,000 order. That would be awesome. But at least if it's not printing for 25 cents. But I mean, let's say a realistic order, you know, it's $3,500 or $3,000 and it's 180 pieces.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of items did you sell them? What were the blanks?
Looks like they are comfort colors.
Okay, so definitely not a cheap option.
Okay, but let's see. How did I price them? I mean, I priced them pretty much almost $17 each. So, it's all one color, one location.
Yeah.
One color, one location. So
that's definitely a good order for you guys. So that's what you're looking for, is somebody – you're not looking for – a big order as far as volume. You're looking for like a healthy order with a high margin because of the blank.
Yeah, something like that, actually.
Because, I mean, some of the orders that we've done that are big volume-wise, like the kinds you post on Instagram because the palettes show up,
not the best.
We'll actually get paid, like, we'll print front and back and inside tags, and we'll get paid like $1.30 a unit with three locations. So there have been times when, even though we're doing 14,000 units. It's a lot of work compared to what it would have been to do, like what you're saying, which is 200 units that are just on a nice blank, so the margin's healthy.
Yeah, so I mean, doing the math, if we had two orders like that a day for a year, that'd be 1.5 million in sales. Mm-hmm. And those are healthy orders. I mean, that's a perfect world and a perfect, you know, shop and a perfect everything. But
you see what I'm saying? That's all it takes. Two orders a day and everything is perfect. There's no more war. There's no more famine. The entire world is at peace because of your shop getting two orders a day. It's so easy.
Exactly.
Well, in that case, we really got to accomplish this. So what was that order? Who was the client? Is there some way you can kind of mimic it?
It was a church conference. Church conference.
You do a lot of churches, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, it seems like in your Instagram, you guys have gotten quite a few church events.
Well, see, like you said earlier, you print for one client, mm-hmm. in this case, a church, and that church refers you to another church, or that church has an Instagram. They tag me in that Instagram, boom, get another order. The problem is either it's a church camp, so it's only in the summer, or it's a church conference, which is once a year. So either I need to find 365 different church conferences at different times of the year, or
which isn't that bad of an idea, even though you're laughing. I mean, as far as an outreach campaign, if you wanted to do outside sales, kind of which I feel like outside sales isn't done as much anymore. Like, it's definitely done by distributors and vendors, but print shops don't seem to do it as hard as they used to. But you know, it's not a bad idea to reach out to 300 events, because you could make that list pretty quickly. If you go on like onlinejobs.ph or even Fiverr, you can ask them to do something like that task, and they'll give you the email addresses and the phone numbers to whoever's in charge of like 300 events, because you give them a description of the event and then they start making you a list.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, that's what a lot of those like weird outsourced jobs are, is they're like data building for really, really cheap, normally like in the Philippines or India.
And how do they find those emails? How do I know they're even good?
They find them exactly how you would find them, but it takes them forever and their hourly pay is just really low. So they're literally doing exactly what you would personally do. They're like going on Google, going on Yelp, going through Facebook searches. They're just searching things and then they're putting them into a spreadsheet for you instead of you doing it yourself.
Okay, I just signed up. So find, job title, find church conferences. What am I supposed to type?
Yeah, you can say like build a database of church conferences in America. I mean, I feel like one of my friends did a huge list where he got like every Italian restaurant, because he was doing uniforms, and he paid them like $90, and he got like 3,000 or 4,000 Italian restaurants, and they did it the same way you would. They're like on Yelp for different cities, just copy pasting. But when it's in a list like that, you can just cold call those people. And even if you get one in 50, it'll probably pay off.
I mean, that's true. If you think about it, $90, just going to take time, really.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're not that busy, or if you can set aside 2 hours a day, you could work through that list pretty quickly. That kind of old school sales is dying out a little, but it does work. So you want 3,000-ish dollar orders, and you wanted two a day. So you want, I wonder what else is available near you. What are the print shops near you succeeding with? Do you know? Are you following them?
Yeah. So look, I'm looking at one right now. He prints for a lot of, I see volleyball, I see tennis, I see I see high schools. I see lots of high schools. Yeah.
So he's like the guy with all the local schools?
Looks like it, yeah. Ridgefield, Camas, Excel, Tennis. Hmm. Yeah, almost like 80% of his stuff I see right here is all sports schools.
So would you even want a gun for that business, or do you just want to pivot into something else so you don't have to compete?
Well, I feel like my niche is churches. Seems like, why not? You know, why not capitalize on that? If that's what's going to bring me, if that's a niche that no one else is into, then why? You know, I mean, to be honest, in a 1 mile radius, there's 3 print shops, if not 4 of my shop.
Are they as good as yours or better, or where do you stand in quality?
I'm second compared to this guy that I'm looking at right now. Oh. This one guy right here, he's probably 650 in sales. I'm at 350, and then the third guy is like 150.
Oh, so that guy's like a manual or something.
Yeah, he's growing though. So,
are there other people with like rocks? Can you use that as a big marketing thing?
No, he just got a rock. The first guy,
Ryan. It.
It's not. I'm within 2 blocks of Ryanet too, so.
Yeah, right. They should give us exclusives or something. Like, you can't get a rock within 5 miles of another rock.
I feel like they don't even sell enough rock. I mean, how many rocks can you realistically sell? No? I mean,
I don't know. I have no idea what those numbers would be. I would guess they sell hundreds of rocks.
You think so? Well, I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm just.
I mean, okay, just so when you buy one, the wait list is insane. I've never.
Oh, it is.
Yeah,
I mean, I didn't wait at all.
How long did you wait? Did you buy an existing one that was in the States, or did you order one?
I think I bought one that was in. Was it like in Texas or something? Right?
Oh, see, you didn't buy it from Rock. You bought it because Ryonet had already had it stateside.
Oh.
Because oh, really? When you order from Rock, they're made in Portugal, like, to your specs.
Oh, wow.
There are people that wait, like, 3 months.
What specs do you need, though?
I mean, however you're building it out, you know, with however many stations, however many colors. Sometimes people put inline foil, or they'll do, like, air coolers. And there's a whole bunch of cool stuff you can click into them.
No, I mean, like, I feel like Ryanet is doing amazing lately. But how many print shops can there really be? You know, like, for example, you walk around anywhere in a big public place and everyone is wearing a shirt. So it makes sense that you could somehow build a business off of shirts. But then if each printer can print up to whatever, 500 shirts an hour, then each person, it's not like it's, sorry, what I'm trying to say is, there's 1,000 shirts out there, right? But there's only one rock. So that means there needs to be a lot less rocks. Well, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess compared to shirts. But, I mean, I don't know. These are all Ryan These are all Ryan questions. I have no idea what their, like, market maximum is. But I do – or market capacity. But I do know that M&R – I believe is definitely selling more autos. So,
They've been in the game longer. I feel like Rock they'll take them over soon.
If anything, Rock has a lot of room to grow just because they're not the market leader.
Yeah, no, I think they're gonna. Well, if we ask that question, then I think that Rock will pass M&R, no doubt, just because it's a younger company geared more towards us younger people. I feel like everybody at M&R is 50 plus, 40 at least. And everybody at Rock is young, energetic, and you know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. I didn't buy it based on age. I bought it just – I liked the actual quality of the machine better. But, yeah, they're – I don't know. I would think that they could move into a lot of spaces. Even if you are already owning a Rock – your lifespan on the machine, either because you want to upgrade or because you're succeeding, so you need additional machines. I would think that even their pre-existing clients still have room to grow, because a lot of the shops I know, they get up to 3-4 autos at least, and then there's some massive companies that are doing like 16 autos all in one building. So
that's insane.
It is kind of limitless if you have enough production power.
I guess it's the way you look at it.
This one company that's in the valley near us in SoCal, they were doing Drake t-shirts, and they're outputting 1 million units monthly.
No way.
Yeah. And, you know, even if you're a Drake fan, it's kind of mind-blowing that he's selling that.
What? Hold on. Okay, so 1 million units monthly divided by, let's say they are normal. And they work 20 days a month. Mm. So they take weekends off. That's 50,000 pieces a day. Mm-hmm. Divided by 8 hours, which they probably don't work 8 hours.
They do double shift, 10 autos.
Double shift, 10 autos.
Yeah, so 16 hours of production, 10 autos running.
So they have to, so 50,000 divided by 10, because they have 10 autos. They have to print 5,000 shirts a day.
2,500 units a shift starts to seem pretty realistic.
Well, I just counted it all the way down. They have to print 300 shirts an hour. That's not bad.
No.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I mean, when you get the right clients, like there's a lot of shops in Los Angeles that are way bigger than us. But you can't find them online because they don't even want to answer the phone. They've got some massive merch management companies. They're doing things for like Capitol Records or for Drake. They have no interest in running a small job. And that's why they have these massive warehouses that are 40,000 square feet.
That's insane.
But you don't really want to go into that, right? I mean, that's not your goal.
No, that's not what I want to do. Because that means, I mean, that's crazy.
They also have razor thin margins because
what happens if something happens to Drake?
Well, you're not really in a relationship with Drake. There are some print shops that are like really dependent on one client. But some of those huge ones, they're actually dependent on like merch management companies. So they're doing for, you know, 7, 8, 9 artists.
So I guess my point is, let's say something happens to Drake and, I don't know, he doesn't want shirts anymore. He doesn't need to sell shirts anymore. Or his merch management company can't sell shirts anymore. Then that 40,000 square foot business is they're not going to be able to pick up new customers like off the street. They'd have to either find...
Well, they're not doing 1 million units a month of exclusively Drake, but it's like you do Drake, then you do some massive, Coachella merch, then you do merch for a TV show, then you do merch for whoever. They didn't get that big because they have one client. They get that big with a roster of really huge orders. So it may not be exclusively Drake that month, but they're still hitting that many units because they have so many big-time clients. And another thing is licensing. Like, there's guys making a fortune still printing Nirvana shirts for, like, Hot Topic.
Oh, no way.
So bands that are long dead, they still have fans, and they're still having people buy shirts at the mall, stuff like that.
And that's old. I didn't know they still exist.
Well, two of them do. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to go really big contract, you could get your volume up, but your approach would have to be a lot different. If you're going to go after the churches, then it might be a lot about personal relationships. You getting out there and maybe doing phone calls and even meeting people face to face might go a long way.
Okay. That's I think step number one would be to find where these church conferences happen and at least find, I don't know, 500. Well, if I need two orders a day, then I need to find at least basically 1,000 events so that I could possibly land 600 of them, maybe, right?
Even if you could land 50 of them, it'd be cool. I mean, when you're cold calling with no connection to these people, it could be pretty hard to land the order. You might have to do things like send them little care packages of your quality. You might have to meet them in person. It might be quite a bit of hustle. But like I'm Googling church tees right now, and it looks like the number one shop who's marketing these people is ministrygear.com. It's a nice website, and it definitely has more features than yours.
Mm-hmm. But look, it looks like they probably have like a DTG or something. Look, if you look at all their designs. You know?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. They're not actually talking about DTG. They say that their minimum's 12 shirts, so I think they just screen print anything. And I honestly have no idea what they do volume wise. But they have a very nice website. It's very put together.
They're in California.
Oh yeah?
How far are they from you?
We can see they must have like an about page or something.
Maps. I clicked on their contact page. I'm going to type in on Google Maps.
Also, it's very possible that this is another print shop who just happened to buy the domain. So it says that they launched VBS t-shirts in 2009, and then they turned that into ministrygear.com. So you could have Grandline Graphics and additional domains that are going to be better for SEO. You should talk to your SEO guy about that.
Different domains, that's a good idea.
Because if you can go buy, you know, like churchtees.com for however much on GoDaddy, it might help you with what you're specifically trying to market.
This place is 30 minutes away from you.
Oh, yeah? What city are they?
Yeah. Granada Hills.
Weird.
They're a screen printer. They have five reviews, and they're 5 stars. Probably all related, whoever posted those reviews, but yeah.
I mean,
they have a shot. They have 23 photos. And they have let's see if I can find an automatic in here. I'm curious because
their building looks super tiny. So it, oh yeah, their building looks really little, like a little strip mall spot. So that's interesting because they're the absolute number one search result for church tees. And it looks like they may not be doing that much production, which means you have an opportunity as also a small shop to be a number one search result. It's not like we've pulled up Custom Ink or something right now. It's somebody that
I'm already on the second page for Google searches, you know what I'm saying? But as far as this guy has to be small. His pictures aren't professional. It looks like he has like furniture in the background, like he does it from his house or something.
Well, hopefully he's listening. Then he can call in. Custom Ink actually is the third result for church tees. So these guys somehow beat Custom Ink in SEO.
Oh, okay. Check this out. So an Impact Shirts production at the bottom of his website. So if this guy's listening, props to getting a like first. I'm searching from Vancouver, from Portland, Oregon, and you're coming up first, even though he's in California.
Yeah, that's really far away from you.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, maybe there is a path there for you to create some domains exclusively for the markets you're targeting. I've heard of some print shops being successful with like they market exclusively to like brew pubs. So they'll do growlers, they'll do patches, they'll do hats. They'll do things that they don't even actually make just so that they can offer like a full package to a brew pub. So you could do that kind of thing with a church. Maybe you don't have embroidery and maybe you don't have, you know, weird little giveaway things. Like sometimes I've seen churches do like custom bags.
So this guy runs a manual M&R.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy how far he's gotten himself listed.
That's insane. Gotta meet this guy. Because his other website, Impact Custom Shirts, it's also just as nice as the other one. Maybe he used to be a web developer or something, or has a friend.
Or he bought them. Maybe it's like Inksoft.
No, because if you're going to the websites, he has ImpactShirts.com, ImpactSpiritWear.com, ministrygear.com, VBSTshirts.com. He has all of these websites.
He's smart. He's doing a whole bunch of SEO stuff. I don't know. He's clearly doing a really good job with his descriptions and stuff so that he can go to the top. It looks like his website's running on Bootstrap, which is like a free open source. And then there's also a WooCommerce plugin. So he's kind of mixed a few things here, but I don't see it. I don't see like Inksoft or Deco Network. It looks like he built this out with WooCommerce and some open like HTML. So yeah,
not bad.
He's doing Props. A good job on his website. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But it does say something about the market that he's the number one search result and he's running a manual in Granada Hills. So I wonder what that says about how successful it is to focus this much on the website.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting because...
I mean, if you had invested 20 grand to get his success, but yet he only is running a manual, is it even worth investing?
But see, I know that's not true because... I get these church conference orders all the time. You know, I get at least twice a year, which is nothing compared to you, but I get an order for 15 grand for a church conference,
mm-hmm.
You know? So, I mean, the work is there. I'm just kind of confused why this guy's not running like a couple like autos at least.
I mean, maybe these websites are brand new. I mean, we know nothing about this guy, but...
So yeah, so either something's not right, or like you said, it's something brand new.
Yeah, I mean, for him to have that few reviews is a little weird. It must be pretty new. So yeah, I mean, you should definitely go down the path of the churches. I think that's a good way for you to grow.
Okay. So I guess I got to start either making a cold call list or.
Yeah, or cold know. Email list. Also, what you could do is start targeting your ads the same way you would do this cold call list. So maybe do Facebook lead forms or Instagram leads that are targeting somebody who would somehow be in management at a church. One thing that's worked for me is that when I do a Facebook lead, I'll add people who are page managers. So... Like, let's say they say they like business or they say they're a business owner. To kind of weed out the worst people, you can put that they're a page owner, which normally means that they're in charge of an actual business page. So it weeds out some of the people that have, I don't know, just kind of false profiles.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Very interesting. You got me thinking, Cole.
That was the whole plan.
Just talking, we kind of figured out some interesting stuff.
Now you have to make a million next year, right? You got no other option.
Grow the business by three times, 300%.
Any other major issues right now?
No, honestly, no. So recap our little 50-minute podcast. I need to set my darkroom guy to make screens.
Yep, absolutely.
And see what that changes. And then that way, maybe he will be able to print 6 orders a day.
Yeah, you should definitely set a public time limit on setups and have them explain to you why they didn't hit it. I think that sort of forcing them to tell you why they didn't get it done in 15 minutes is going to really help you. Putting a little bit of a clock on it is important. Because otherwise, people are just getting through their day. They're a little too chill.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Same with you.
He's going to have to answer. Another quick question that I'm having a problem with. I guess this is more of a problem with smaller orders.
Mm-hmm.
sometimes in the past we would get a shirt order. It would take too long to mock it up, to invoice it, all that stuff. So we just would quickly make a quick invoice and we wouldn't mock it up. Then the customer is not happy because they didn't get what they want.
Right.
When we mock it up, we never have issues.
Right.
So how do we work around that?
Mock it up.
Okay, but what if it takes too long?
It doesn't take too long. You take a picture off your distributor's website, like SNS. Plop it into a template, and then you dump their art on top.
Okay, so look, I'm looking up an order right now that I know is definitely already not worth it for me.
Your attitude is terrible.
She has 9 different styles, and the order is $1,300.
Uh-huh.
So my front desk was sitting there downloading 9 different styles, mocking it up, 3 different prints, 3 different designs. So she had to figure that part out.
Mm-hmm.
She sent her crappy artwork, so she was sitting there.
So how many hours did your front desk person work on this?
I'm not sure. I mean, I guess I should have charged, you know, artwork fees and all that kind of stuff. But realistically, I just don't want orders like this. I don't even care.
I mean, there's a lot of people who would be perfectly happy with a $1,000 order. I know, I guess I just won't say shop names. There's another huge shop that I know, that's got, they also have like maybe a dozen autos. Anyway, they will take orders as low as 12 pieces. So you're going to want to watch out for deciding you're too good for certain jobs because, one, they can turn into bigger jobs because of either word of mouth or they just have more work for you in the future. But also, that $1,000 job, sure, it might have taken your front desk person 3 hours. But how much are you paying your front desk person? I mean, that might have maybe cost you $45 out of a $1,000 order. It's really not that big of a deal, right? Financially, her feeling like she's working hard or feeling like it's a pain might really just cost you $45. And you didn't even personally do it. So it really just is the math of like, can I pay $15 an hour for someone to do this task? And on a $1,000 order, you totally can.
Well, I guess it's more of I'm trying to optimize, you know, I feel like there's no way that I'm going to be able to get to $1 million, $2 million in sales if we keep doing this on every single order. That's what I'm saying.
But you wouldn't be getting to $1 or $2 million in sales without an exclusive artwork person and without people who are handling customer service separate. I mean, you're not going to do $1 million in printing with a team of 3, most likely just because of what you're saying, which is there's too many things to do for you to get the work done.
Mm-hmm.
And with an artwork person is probably a lot faster than her to begin with. And your artwork person, it wants to work for 8 hours a day every day. So at that point, there's no reason why your artwork person can't output 15 things in one day. Including That's films, true. Including mock-ups. We, at Shirt Agency, we kind of split artwork between me and Daniel. And me and Daniel both do not work on artwork full-time. If I try to work on art for an hour or two, I can get the entire day done. And it's just because it's focused work. What you're probably experiencing is distracted work. And then your distracted employee kind of needs to be doing 4 or 5 different things. So they're probably not the best artists to begin with, and they're being distracted by other things, so it just feels like it's taking forever.
It's a good point.
But making a mock-up is like a 4-minute problem. So even if it is 9 designs, that should be done in well under an hour.
I'm gonna keep making lists of questions, because clearly every time I talk to you, it seems to get sorted out, so that's good.
Well, yeah, we can check back in and then make more people listen to us again.
Thank you, whoever's listening. I don't know why you guys listen to us, but thank you so much.
All right. I'll see you later.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.